Welcome to the Muscles and Veggies Fitness Podcast. This is where we talk about nutrition, health, fitness, performance, all perfectly packaged together in a bite-sized podcast to help educate and motivate you to stay on your fitness journey. Today we are talking about the benefits of cold exposure. A couple weeks ago we talked about the benefits of heat exposure. Again, this was a listener question that I wanted to address. So we're going to go over the benefits of cold exposure. There was no way for me to fit all of the benefits of both heat and cold into one episode. So I figured I'd break this into two separate episodes. So across social media right now, you're seeing this cold plunge. You're seeing lots of people doing like cold exposure, especially this is definitely a bigger practice in Europe than it is in the United States. Maybe we're a little softer than the Euros, but you know, this is definitely something that over an age-old time has been given benefits in large ways. Okay, so we've been very conditioned over the last 50 to 60 years, you know, with our environmental temperatures in our homes and in our businesses and in our buildings to, you know, roughly 70 degrees. This has decreased the tolerance we have to swings in temperature, whether it be heat or cold. So we naturally get these benefits from exposing ourselves to cold temperatures, even just acutely. As little as 30 seconds can have massive benefits. So I want to talk about the benefits of cold exposure and maybe how you can get started in a routine in implementing cold exposure into your training and into your week and into your lifestyle so that you can reap some of these benefits. Before I touch on the benefits though, please do me a favor, leave me a review on whatever, pause the video, leave me a review on whatever channel you're listening to this on, whether it be iTunes or Spotify or iHeartRadio. It helps more people find the show, which helps me. If you really want to help me and you're appreciative for this information I put out every week, leave me a review on Google. Go to Google, type in Muscles and Veggies Fitness. I'm the only one that has that name. Muscles and Veggies Fitness. Find me on Google Places and just click the Reviews tab. Leave me a review for the show. It helps people find my personal training services here in Northwest Arkansas, United States. On to the benefits of cold exposure. Number one, you know, on this podcast, we talk a lot about inflammation. Number one benefit of cold exposure, the decrease in inflammation. This is exactly why the football players, you know, the last 20, 30 years, they have a practice of taking ice baths after practice or after their sessions to decrease inflammation. Now, I will give you a caveat to that because there's lots of research that shows that after training especially is probably not the best time to do cold exposure because you've generated this inflammation, you've generated this catabolic response in the muscle, and you don't want to blunt the hormetic effects that you've created during that workout by immediately decreasing inflammation directly after training. We want the training benefits to linger on because that's what causes the adaptation response, okay? So heat exposure is actually great after training, but cold exposure, not so much, okay? Maybe wait an hour or two after training. Let those benefits that you got during training, let that inflammation come down naturally. Because there's lots of processes we don't want to screw up. Picture it this way, training physically is an oxidative event, which means that we're breaking down muscle tissue, we're oxidizing carbohydrates and fats. This causes a low-level inflammation. If you immediately blunt that effect, then you're negating some of the benefits that you would have gotten from that training session, okay? So, but if you're someone who struggles with, like if you're a power lifter in my gym, or you're somebody who struggles with inflammation on a general basis, incorporating cold exposure into your weekly routine can be huge, absolutely huge. And we're going to go into some of the other benefits as we go along, which you'll see why this can be so huge. But number one, decrease inflammation. Number two, activates brown fat. you might be thinking, what is brown fat? That doesn't even sound like I want to activate brown fat. But here's the key. Brown fat is separate from our white fat. White fat is where we store energy or adipose tissue on the body. That's the fat you want to get rid of. You want to generate more brown fat. Brown fat, I was just reading a study this morning, the NIH, the National Institute of Health, they talked about the benefits of brown fat when it comes to increasing the metabolism and decreasing blood sugar. How does that work? Well, brown fat is actually a mechanism in the body where we generate thermogenesis or heat by breaking down sugar and also breaking down fats and into energy that heats up our body. Okay? So brown fat, you could think of as turning on your metabolism to heat up your body. It's like turning up the thermostat internally on your body. So we could actually make our metabolism run faster by activating brown fat through cold exposure. Interesting, huh? There's a lot of pills out there that claim that they increase metabolism. I'm here to tell you, most 99% of those supplements are garbage. You are wasting your money on supplements that increase the metabolism. If they do, and there are a few herbs and supplements that do increase the metabolism, we're talking about fractions of a percent. Fractions of a percent. Not like brown fat that like multiple percentages increases your metabolism, or resistance training, definite multiple increases in percentage of metabolism gain, especially the more muscle mass you have. But before I get way off into left field, let's move on to number three, control blood sugar. We just talked about brown fat activates, cold exposure activates brown fat, which decreases our blood sugar. Decreasing our blood sugar lowers our insulin. Lowering our insulin makes better fat burning. Okay? So through the brown fat, it lowers our blood sugar. So if you're somebody who struggles with blood sugar, maybe type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance, cold exposure can be a huge tool. Okay? Even just cold showers can be a huge tool. And this is interesting. If you test your blood sugar, you can clearly see on the days that you do cold exposure that your blood sugar through the day is lower than it would have been on the days that you don't do cold exposure. Okay, let's move on. Number four, we already talked about this, the increase in metabolism. So there's definitely a documented increase in metabolism from cold exposure. I'm not going to get too far into this because we've already been talking about brown fat and blood sugar up to this point. Number five, improve nervous system function. Okay, so your nervous system is what guides and generates all these processes to happen, okay? So you can think of cold exposure like you're adding a stress to your body that makes you more resilient to stress, okay? So in other words, if you're literally sitting around in a climate-controlled environment, you never exercise, you never heat up your body, you don't move very much, you become very sensitive. Okay, you don't want to be sensitive, you want to be adaptable. Okay, so if we exercise, if we move our body, we have heat exposure, we have cold exposure, it makes us so much more resilient to stress. And part of that is through activating the nervous system and calming the nervous system. Okay, I always say in the gym with my clients, it's like we train like warriors, but we live like monks. I stole that from my digital mentor, Ben Pekulski. We train like warriors. What does that mean? We're activating our nervous system in the gym. We're training hard, okay? That is a stress. Okay, you can clearly see it if you wear any kind of Oura ring or Garmin watch or anything that tracks your stress or your HRV. You can clearly see that it activates your central nervous system. Your stress is high. Then, as soon as you're done training, this is why we talk about on this podcast stretching and breathing afterwards to pull you out of that sympathetic fight or flight state and pull you into rest and digest. Well, cold exposure makes you more resilient to stress because you're adding little doses of stress through the week through cold exposure, and that helps you to regulate your nervous system. So you have to, when you get in that cold tub, anything under 60 degrees, I promise you, you're going to breathe, and breathing is part of the way that your central nervous system is activated to turn on this brown fat and get your internal core temperature up, okay? So that's why it takes your breath away, so to speak, when you get into cold water. So this has a very beneficial effect. There are some caveats that we're going to talk about at the very end. I'm going to give you my warnings for cold exposure, but this is huge right here. This helps us to decrease our overall stress, and it sounds counterintuitive, by adding little bites of stress through the week. We do this with training. We do this with fasting. We do this with other modalities. Cold exposure is no different. Okay? Number six, improve sleep. And this is a no-brainer. If you're learning how to activate your nervous system with training, cold exposure, heat exposure, fasting, you know, all these things, right? You're also learning how to come back into rest and digest and control and be a monk when you're not training or you're not adding these stresses. And that helps you to improve your sleep because your nervous system, again, going back to that, your nervous system now knows when to deactivate and when to recover. Okay, so clearly, if you just type in cold exposure and sleep benefits, you'll see lots of studies that pop up that talk about the improvement in sleep just from adding cold showers or cold exposure into your week. Okay, number seven, improve circulation. I don't know about you, but I definitely am a person who has struggled my whole life with cold hands and cold feet, okay? I even at one point, they went away now, but I even at one point had red spots on my feet from poor circulation, okay? My dad struggled with it. It's definitely something that is genetic in our family, but the bottom line is cold exposure, it opens up your arteries and blood vessels because this exposure to the cold, it opens everything up because it wants to protect your internal organs. So then it's pulling all the blood away from your extremities to protect your core body temperature. Because if your core body temperature gets too low, you will die, okay? And we're going to talk about, again, in the stresses and the caveats I'm going to give you, but this is only in like a hypothermia type setting where your core body temperature drops for, you know, multiple hours way too low. Systems of the body start shutting down. But in an acute exposure, it opens up your blood vessels very wide. This improves circulation on a regular basis. This in turn improves recovery, which is our number eight. Cold exposure, I cannot tell you enough, if you're somebody who trains really hard like an athlete, you know, you're training more than two or three times a week, or you have a physical manual labor job and you train, cold exposure is massive to recovery. Just like we talked about heat shock proteins with heat, there are cold shock proteins with cold. And both of these have a beneficial effect in increasing muscle mass, primarily through the pathway of HGH, or human growth hormone. And just so you ladies know out there, human growth hormone actually is our anti-aging hormone, okay? So you can make the argument that heat exposure and cold exposure both are very beneficial to our anti-aging hormone of human growth hormone, okay? So improve in recovery. I have found this so true because, you know, I lift Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I mountain bike a couple times a week, but I'm also very physically active. I'm a carpenter. I'm always working around my property and doing different landscaping and different things. But the point is, I have found this so beneficial to at least get in a couple times a week and get in my sauna, get my heat for 30 minutes. It's actually every time I'm recording this podcast, I'm in my sauna. It's kind of my studio. But then I also get straight out of that into the cold exposure. And I just have found such a big recovery benefit in my joints, in my muscle, but also in my sleep. So there's so many different ways that cold exposure, I think, is beneficial. And really, just from a logical standpoint, take all these, you know, proven benefits aside. The studies have found all these to be true, right? But anecdotally, it just makes sense that we would have natural exposures to some cold water. It was just, you know, 75, 80 years ago that we did not have water heaters. We did not have the electric modern conveniences of life. So if you wanted to take a bath, you know, 100 years ago, you had to either warm up your water or you went down to the creek or the lake and you bathed, okay? So doing so, we were exposed to cold water and exposed to colder temperatures. Also, think about outhouses. And, you know, you left the house to go outside to use the john. You were exposed to colder temperatures. We were just like a more resilient person 100 years ago compared to what we are now, which now, you know, anything under 50 degrees, everybody's complaining, oh my gosh, it's so cold outside. Anything over 80 degrees, 85 degrees, people are like, it's hot. I can't, you know, I can't stand this heat. But the point is maybe, you know, and I found this to be true, especially when I was training for triathlons, that exposing myself to heat on a regular basis made me not so sensitive to the heat when I would race triathlon, okay? Same thing with cold exposure. People around me are freezing, and I'm perfectly fine most of the time due to my constant exposure to cold, okay? So let's talk about the warnings of cold. First, let me take a sip of my tea. Thank you. Warnings to cold exposure. We talked a lot about in this podcast about stress. I do not recommend cold exposure, and I do not participate in cold exposure when I'm going through a large dose of either physical or mental emotional stress. And the reason why, I have found that it activates your nervous system so much so that if you're already overactivated, this can lead to immune dysfunction. You can get sick frequently with colds and flus and things like that, but also it can just exacerbate stress. So in other words, you're adding more stress to, and the same thing goes to anything else. The same thing goes to exercise. Although exercise in an acute dose is a stress reliever 95% of the time, there are that 5% time that you're too stressed, and now going to the gym and getting this like crazy workout is makes you sick or gives you a cold or whatever, because it has added, you pushed over the threshold of benefit, and you've now grabbed a negative because you've added too much stress to the body. This is also why I recommend, like, when you have a cold and flu, skip the gym. Skip the gym for a week or two. A, you're being considerate of others. B, your body, you're not going to get any benefit out of going to the gym when you're sick. Like, you may be worried about losing muscle, or you may be worried that you're going to gain weight or whatever, but trust me, you adding that cortisol and adding that stress to an already sick body is not going to do you any favors whatsoever when it comes to your recovering from that illness, but also even just keeping more muscle mass and losing weight. The benefits you will get from that sick training, so to speak, are going to be so negligible in the wrong direction, okay? So cold exposure is no different, and we just want to make sure that when you are taking cold exposure into consideration, that you're also taking your stress into consideration. So that's also, you know, you don't want to get, let's say the colder the temperature, I also just want to make this disclaimer, the colder the temperature, the less you want to stay in. So there's some days that I have to chip the ice off of my horse trough that I get into. And if I have to get, it's a 32 degree water, literally, I'm literally getting in there for 30 seconds. Okay, no more than 30 seconds, because that can be too much too fast. And that's also what I would recommend if you're starting a cold exposure routine. Start with cold showers before you even get thinking about like a cold plunge or like I have, like a horse trough, something like that. Start with cold showers. Start with alternating hot and cold. So maybe you do 30 seconds cold, 10 seconds hot, 30 seconds cold, 10 seconds hot, and work your way up to a minute. Doing so will ease your body and create small little doses of cold exposure. Listen, heat exposure to me is, and to everybody, is much easier than cold exposure. But the benefits, I could argue, are just as great, if not greater, for cold exposure. But just keep it acute doses. Don't do it when you're too stressed or when you possibly could be getting sick. And just know that when you are going to take part in cold exposure, that it's in a period of time that, like, everything's going good, your workouts have been good, you've been sleeping like a champ, and I just want to get some extra recovery benefits. Okay, now I'm going to do the cold exposure along with my heat therapy, or just cold exposure in general. Okay? Listen, I hope this podcast was helpful. I hope it answered our listeners' question to cold exposure. Again, just to recap these benefits, I think the most important ones is the decrease in inflammation, the increase in metabolism, the increase in circulation, improved recovery, more HGH, our anti-aging hormone. Can't say it enough how much cold exposure can be a benefit. Listen, I'll see you next time. I appreciate you listening for the last 20 minutes and 25 seconds, and I'll see you next time on the Muscles and Veggies Fitness Podcast.